Gospel reading is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And we are the ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord.
Well, as many of you know, about a month and a half ago, Gracia, our youth director, and I went off to Mexico with 12 of our young people. We do a trip every summer, and this was our first trip that I know of with our young people being abroad, and we were doing kind of a service learning trip. It was nearby to Tijuana, and we went there to engage in a program that involved, making relationships with the locals there where we were, and also building houses. And so I'm very happy that today we have two of our girls who went along, Alexis and Annika, to share some of these stories along with Gracia and I. I'll just kind of open up. When we got there, our host, who was kind of showing us around, was a guy named Ramon, who led a group called Lutheran Border Concerns, which kind of functions in the Southwest a little more. And they kind of run different weeks of a program similar to the one we did. And like I said, we were building houses, which was remarkable because none of us knew how to build houses as we came. And we barely knew how to put in nails into pieces of wood because as we tried, many of them were kind of bending and going sideways. So the first day or two, we were kind of literally just figuring out how to put nails in straight. But we were learning and learning. And this guy, Ramon, would come by. And I would always, I'll always remember kind of his motto in life. We would kind of be doing stuff, and we did a lot of stuff right, but we'd also inevitably mess up because, like I said, we didn't really know what we were doing. And he would come along, and there would be like a wall that wasn't quite right, you know, shaped correctly or didn't have the right measurements. And we'd be like, oh my gosh, Ramon, sorry, it's not right. Is it going to be, are we going to have to start over? And he'd look at it, and he'd be like, that's okay. That's okay. And he'd say, it's okay, it's okay, with kind of that Hispanic accent. And everything we'd do when we'd mess up, he'd come along and say, it's okay, it's okay. We'd, you know, make this triangle piece that was supposed to go on the front of the house. And I remember I saw some of the kids walking with it, and suddenly we heard, and part of it broke off. And he came along, and we're like, Ramon, are we going to have to do it all over? And he's like, no, it's okay. And he'd always find a workaround to kind of get through it. One of the themes that I kind of adopted in that week was, it's okay. You know, in life, it's okay. Things go badly sometimes. You make mistakes, but it's okay. And one of the things I noticed in this trip, by way of introduction, is that, if I think through the trips that I've been part of since I've been at this church, we've gone to different cities in the United States, and this was easily the least comfortable in a lot of ways. When they showed us the bunk beds, they were not very nice. The mattresses had holes in them. There were springs coming through. Eating the food, it was delicious, but it could maybe make you sick. The water would definitely make you sick. And we were in a country where we were vulnerable, where we didn't know the language. And yet, after this trip, I had more kids saying, we should do this again. We should go back. And for me, this was a good sign of how meaningful it was. You know, a lot of times we tell ourselves we want what's comfortable, we want what's familiar. But what I experienced was something that took us out of our comfort zone and something that engaged us with new people was so meaningful to our kids and certainly to the leaders too. So without any further ado, I'll invite our two young people forward to share some more stories about our experience.
Hello, I'm Annika Price. This experience was especially exciting for me because it was my first time out of the country. I had never even been to Canada before. I wasn't sure of what to expect being in a different country than my parents. It was even weirder not having my phone, and I felt completely disconnected from my life back in Bismarck. I thought that I would be very homesick during this week, but surprisingly, I wasn't. I think the reason I didn't feel homesick was because I fell into the routine of building very quickly, and we were constantly busy. When we weren't building, we were making supper or playing with the kids. I say making supper because preparing dinner every night probably took longer than it actually did to build the house. To get an estimate of about how long this took, just imagine trying to make spaghetti with frozen hamburger and no microwave. After a day or two in Mexico, I felt like I could live there. I got used to the weather, the people, and the routine. For a whole week after I got back into the States, I found it really hard to say thank you and hello because I was so used to saying gracias and hola. I started to see the children at the orphanage and the other group on the trip as family. One of my favorite parts of the trip was the food. Every day an ice cream man would walk up to our site and we would all take an ice cream break. Right across from our site was a little store, so we would walk there after working. My favorite thing to get there was an apple soda. The pop in Mexico is really good because it's made with real sugar and not like corn syrup we use in the United States. But my absolute favorite thing to eat was the carne asada tacos. I wasn't really a big fan of tacos until I ate these tacos. These are actually the best things in the world. I would go back to Mexico solely for these. I want to finish by thanking all of you for your support and generous donations. This experience truly changed my life, and I'm so thankful I got this opportunity.
Hi, I'm Alexis Hoffman. Right away, I'd like to thank Paul and Gracia for welcoming me on this trip. I'm not actually from this church. I'm from Faith Lutheran, and you guys had really open arms for me when I came on this trip, so I'm very thankful for that opportunity. And I'd also like to thank the congregation for all the donations and tremendous support for this trip to be possible. Before we crossed the border to enter Mexico, we had stopped at a Walmart to stock up on supplies. As we packed the vans, we were told to be prepared for the sudden change in lifestyle we would see. Driving through Tijuana was truly an eye-opener for me. On the way to our site where we would be staying, we drove past a valley. Homes constructed by plywood and tarps were everywhere. Houses stacked on houses created a colorful patchwork of random building material. People's lives were constructed in this valley, and many more like it that we passed. Coming into the neighborhood of the orphanage we stayed at, the homes were built up on a hill comparable to what we had just seen. Later in the week, I was informed the area is considered a high-end place because of the one paved road running up the side of the hill. The rest of the roads were just dirt and bump, much like what you'd find in a field. The orphanage was just off the paved road, and our site, where we built off of, was on the other side. Arriving at the orphanage, I will not lie, I was nervous about what to expect. I never took Spanish. On top of being in a completely new place, there was now a language barrier. What I had expected was not what I anticipated. The kids were excited to meet us and for us to play with them. Language did not matter to them. What mattered was our presence. I work at an after-school program at Liberty Elementary School. The kids there are no different than the kids in the orphanage. People who live in a third-world country are no different than people who live in a first-world country. My top bunk of the orphanage was right next to a large open window looking out onto the dirt road alley. I could clearly see people and the occasional vehicle that passed by. One night, I heard a car full of laughter coming down the deserted road. Curious, I looked out, and a van of six or more people in their mid-20s stopped right outside the orphanage. Much to my surprise and delight, I could see the glow of Pokemon Go on all of their phones. It amazed me to see that they enjoyed the same things many youth here enjoy doing. But in reality, we are all the same. We all like to play, want things, love and care for the people around us, and work hard to make a life for ourselves and our families. My week in Mexico broke down barriers and stereotypes for me. The new people I met were especially caring for their neighbors. They worked tirelessly to provide what they could. The biggest thing I learned in Mexico was we are all the same, no matter where we come from.
Hi, I'm Luke Swanger, and three things I learned from Mexico is one, the Mexico kids really like soccer. Each day after we were done at the work site, we'd get out of the van, and the boys from the orphanage would want to play soccer. We'd kick the ball around till supper, which was about like 8 o'clock at night. Then after supper, we'd play by flashlight until bed. 2, your happiness in life is not directly related to what you own. We saw a lot of poverty and poor living conditions while we were in Mexico. And yet, I honestly felt people were happier in Mexico than any of us in America. 3, doing something worthwhile as a group brings you closer together. When we started our trip, a lot of us didn't know each other well, but working alongside each other while serving others connected us in new and unforgettable ways. Trinity, thank you for helping us raise the funds needed to be a part of this amazing experience.
Hi, I'm Colton Krenz. I was a participant on the 2016 Mexican Youth Trip. I wanted to start off by saying how thankful I am that I got to go on this trip. I especially want to thank our congregation for making this all possible by donating and buying all our fundraising items. This trip was really fun, and if I could do it again, I would. When we arrived in San Diego, everyone was ready for the beach. So once we got to our church we were staying at, we all went to the beach. That was a few blocks away. We got to the beach and it was really packed, but the water was really nice. It was probably like 95 degrees that day, and hopping in the water felt really good. After we got back to the church, we went to this restaurant that served great Mexican food. Back at the church, since they had a gym, we decided to make use of it by playing basketball and soccer. We played a good 30 minutes until the other church group showed up, and it even got better. There were more people, and some were really competitive, and some weren't. The next day, I remember the youth leader from the other church named Danny saying, "When you cross the border, notice the differences between America and Mexico. Once you crossed, it was very different from America. There were trash on the streets and houses were falling apart. The streets weren't maintained, so there were large potholes and many ruts in the streets. When we went to Rosarito, we went to this restaurant that served great tacos and a Mexican market. At the market, there were many things to buy, but I just decided to get a few things. Many people were offering us discounts on stuff because we were on a service project. There were kids around the age of 2 already learning the way of life by selling Chiclets, which are little pieces of gum in the middle of streets and sidewalks. They're about the size of a Starburst, and they cost like 1 peso. And no matter what you say, traffic out of Rosarito will always be worse than Bismarck, because we sat in a traffic jam for about 45 minutes to an hour and a half. That night, when we got back to the orphanage we were staying at and settled in and had dinner, we had a devotion talking about how the week was going to go. Each church had their own build site to work at. Our site we worked at wasn't that far away, but everybody else's site was a few miles away. So each day, we'd wake up around 7 a.m. and get ready for the day. We'd eat breakfast, which would be a mix of many things like muffins, cereal, fruits, and Nutri-Grain bars. The next thing you would do was make lunch for the day, which would be a sandwich or 2, a bag of chips, goldfish crackers, and a cookie. We would have a morning devotion that day talking about a certain topic the pastors would make. After devotion was done, it was time to pack the vans for the day, so usually putting in the crates full of building supply and putting in the coolers of our lunch. We would usually work for about 4 to 5 hours before eating lunch. Then it was back to work. Back at the orphanage, we had many groups that would make breakfast, supper, and clean up poos. So those making supper would always shower first, then everybody else after them. While they cooked, everyone else would either hang out in the building playing cards or hang out with the kids outside. The activities we would do with the kids would be playing soccer, listen to music, and try to get your hat back once they took it from you. And once you had it, they'd take it back from you. So that was the one intense game of keep away. After we ate, we had a devotion talking about our day and our experiences we had that day. The devotions were very touching, but one in particular that was meaningful to me, it was about valuing things. It started off talking about a $20 bill and what it stands for. All it is just a piece of paper. Some people might say that the houses we built look like sheds, but to the family, those houses were mansions. We built a house for a lady and her kids who was living with her sister in a shipping container from a cargo ship. The wood we used for this project wasn't the best, but we made it work. Some of it was bowed, and some of it had very uneven cuts. It didn't even matter, but the value of the project when we were done, when we are done was so meaningful to them. To them, it was a new start. Some of the other houses didn't have doors or walls. The people receiving these houses were so thankful, and they couldn't believe what we did for them. One of the families we built a house for was living in a pickup truck and whatever they could fit in there. This was poverty at one of its lower points. Kids less than the age of two begging for money and people walking into restaurants with a Coca-Cola can on the end of a guitar playing Johnny B. Good. Some people don't know when the next meal is going to be, and some don't know where they're going to sleep that night. But somehow, no matter what they go through, they know what the true meaning of value is. Some people may think they know what it is, but they don't know until they're living like that in Mexico. Ramon, the head orphanage worker, was talking to me, and he said, "This is how people live in Mexico." And some people say they've been to Mexico and seen how they live, but you know, sometimes they might have gone to a big resort or they were in a wealthy parts of the city. He also said this is a high-value residential area because there's a paved road and plumbing to houses and not just a single well some go to. Many great experiences came from this trip, like 28 people drinking 692 bottles of water in just 2 days, or swapping the broken fan in our room for one in the other guy's room while they slept. A traditional Mexican taco with habanero sauce on it, and the cook said it wasn't that spicy, but it was. And practicing my Spanish language I've been learning for 2 years, and it really wasn't that hard, just a lot of pointing and body movements. When we were playing soccer with two of the boys named Miguel and Hernan, the ball got kicked over the gate. It was like the Sandlot movie all over again. We never did get that ball back, but because there were rabid dogs over there, and we didn't feel like getting bit by them. We mixed our cultures with them. We had the music. We had music playing, and we'd play our music and their music, and mixing all our cultures together. This trip was a great experience for me. I got to connect with so many people and learn about what other people in third world countries go through. I also learned that you need to value and appreciate everything you have in the world because you never know when you might lose it all. Value is a thing that drives us to continue, to move on. So value everything and keep it with you forever. Never lose the feeling. I would like to thank the congregation one more time for making this whole trip possible. If it wasn't for you guys, those houses would have never been built and those people's lives would have never been changed. Thank you, and I hope I can do this trip again one day.
My name is Blake Cobley. The first thing of crossing the border you noticed was immediate change. The land was different. The houses were all different. You noticed how much you had and how little they had. Some of the houses were made out of like cardboard roofs, and you have siding and tile on your roofs. The devotions from the pastor from the other church, Danny, really touched me in many ways. The people appreciated so much what you had to give. And when we gave the house, there was no feeling that was no feeling I'd ever felt before. When you're in Mexico, you learn to live with the little things in life. Like, they don't really have phones. They don't have a Starbucks that they can go to. They just don't have what you have.
Good morning. My name is Gracia. I'm the Youth and Education Coordinator here, and I'm going to show you some pictures about what we actually did. So we flew into San Diego, and we stayed there overnight at a church before loading up our van. There were 14 of us in a 15-passenger van, hence the luggage rack on top of the van. And so we drove into Mexico the next morning. And this is the orphanage that we stayed at every night. This is the girls' bunk room. The first day we went into Rosarito to do a little shopping and sightseeing, so we got to taste some of the food and go to one of the local markets there, which is a different experience for us because they do a lot of bartering there. So we got to learn how to do a little bit of that, which is good. This is the before picture. This is what we came to. This is a 12 by 12 cement slab. So this is what we started with. And that's the pile of wood that was there. And as Paul mentioned, we didn't really know a lot about building a house. Our group didn't. So we relied a lot on the group that we were with, the California group. We met a group from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Los Altos, California. And There wasn't any, it wasn't like we were assisting a construction crew. We were doing all of the building ourselves. So we got to learn a lot about building a little house that week. And as you can see, the house is made mainly of 2x4s and plywood. There's one window and one door, and it's a 12x12 structure when it's done. And it took all 14 of us to raise all four walls together to get them all squared in and put together. And then, of course, you add the rafters and paint. The inside of the house is not finished by us. It is left with the studs and the plywood, the outside plywood, and that is our finished little house. To give you some perspective, the little house next to us right there, that is what the homeowner was living in with her sister and a few kids. That is Adriana and her son Axel. Those are the new homeowners, and we got to present the keys to her and have a little blessing for her. And as I think somebody mentioned, this is actually kind of a middle-class neighborhood because it does have electricity and some plumbing coming to it. This was a Spanish Bible that we left as a housewarming gift for her. And this is Ramon, the director of Lutheran Border Concerns, and they do the screening process and set up all of these building sites. And in the evenings, we would play with the kids at the orphanage, play soccer, share music, play some games with each other, cook. The kids got to take turns cooking, and we didn't always have the meat thawed. As was mentioned, soccer was a big thing to play in the evenings. The last night, we all shared communion with each other. We got connected up with Emmanuel Lutheran in Los Altos because the pastor there is Pastor Paul's dad, and they've done this trip for several times. So this is the whole group from California and North Dakota. And then we crossed back into the United States and stayed in San Diego that evening before flying out the next day. So we got to spend a little bit of time at the beach and share a meal together. And then we were back home. We do want to thank you for all of your support. We have a great group of youth here at Trinity, and it was truly a blessing to be able to do God's work with all of our hands and their hands in a new place. So thank you very much.